Odyssey celebrates Halloween, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
DJ, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing good.
How you feeling physically, man? You take some big shots. That worried me. That hit yesterday.
It was a rough one.
Yeah.
It's a little sore, back a little sore, but I'm doing good.
So, DJ, big picture, when you look at how tough that must have been to take, that loss and the Hail Mary that everyone has now seen dozens of times on highlights, how do you prevent one loss from becoming two? How do you prevent one game from defining your season?
Looking at the tape today and seeing what could have prevented that from even being a play that they can have at the end of the game.
What was it like sitting on the sidelines and watching that? There were 2 seconds left, and then that kid was running around back there. They said he covered 40 yards in his scramble. They said that it was a 12-point-something, almost 13-second-long run scramble before he unleashed the ball. And then, obviously, the tip, and there's the touchdown, and the whole – stadium blew up. What was going through your head as you watched that?
I was just like, let them get down, or somebody get a holding call or something. Right. I felt like they was holding, but the refs didn't call it. And, I mean, they missed some calls sometimes. So, and then when he threw it, I didn't see it until we tipped it, and then I saw somebody in the back. I was like, I hope it's one of our players, but it wasn't. And it was, I think, Noah Brown that caught the ball.
So how would you describe the post-game locker room in terms of just what was said? Was anything said? What do you say after a moment like that? And how in your career, how do you have anything else to compare it to?
In the locker room, everybody was just like, it was just like what just happened. Like, it seemed so unreal, but it was real at the same time. And like, we just got to play through 60 minutes and really hone in on the details of things.
We were talking about just the impact of it. The idea that as rough as that game was, you guys came back and you score a touchdown with 30 seconds left, and then you get the 2-point conversion, and it looks like you've stolen the game. It looks like your quarterback has led you to a huge victory in his homecoming. That was the young quarterback bowl, and then all that storyline, all the goodness that you kind of needed to steal that game, it all evaporated in a second.
Yeah, it went fast. Like, we scored, we thought the game was over, and they did what they did. And I mean, it was crazy to see and crazy to be a part of. But like I said, I don't think it should have came down to them having that Hail Mary at the end.
DJ, there's a clip that made the rounds on social media and was shown on Sunday Night Football on NBC. Tyreek Stevenson was taunting the Commanders crowd, had his back to the line of scrimmage. And it was 4 seconds into the play before he even got over to where he would end up tipping the ball that ended up in Noah Brown's hands. As a captain on this football team, how do you address that, if you address it at all? And what did you think of what you saw?
I didn't see it happening during the play. I seen it just how everybody else seen it. Was on, I think, Twitter, and I had seen it, and a few of the captains was talking about how we need to really address that, and I seen that he put something out about how he was sorry, but we still got to address it as a leadership group and in front of the team.
What do you think that means? What happens to Tyreek, do you think?
Nah, I don't know. That's not up for us to do, but we can address it as captains, and, I mean, upstairs we'll have to do what they were going to do.
I guess when I think about that play and that moment, you know, it's a life lesson because the game isn't over and you don't need to be kind of taunting, or there's like a certain amount of karma that will come back and bite you. But I think that he didn't have a great game, but I want to be fair about it. I think it needs to be addressed, but I think he's also a pretty good player, and I don't know that you improve by benching him, but there are people that have called in that want him benched. I just don't know that that's the answer.
I mean, you can do that, and then I don't know. I mean, it's a lesson learned for sure. He won't do that again. But if you bench him, it's just like that one play is. I mean, it's a big play, but that one play don't define him as a player.
This segment with DJ Moore is sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. All right, let's talk about the offensive play calling, especially the handoff to Doug Kramer, the fumble on third and goal from the one. DJ, I just wonder from your vantage point, what was going through your mind when that play was called? There's a lot of reaction to the fact that that play should never have been called. Help us understand what the thought process was from Shane Waldron.
After I had called the ball, and then I was in a tent for those plays, and I came out to the Commanders just with the ball running downfield. I didn't know what happened until people was telling me that we called that play to Doug.
Yeah, I mean, again, that was a crazy idea because at the time you were trailing in the game and you guys were struggling to score. You get to the 1 yard line. I mean, why not play it straight? Why do anything that is unusual? And then the fumble, it was almost like a worst case scenario type thing. And, you know, when I saw the guy pick up the ball and run it, all I could think of was like, he had to be down. He had to be down. Because then I was worried that was a like it was a touchdown the other way, and that would have really, really been a problem.
Yeah, that would have been a real big problem if they would have scored on that play. I don't know how to say it, but I don't know the reason behind the play call. I mean, it's been up for a few weeks, but I didn't think we would actually like get it called in a game like this. So, but when I came out of 10 and just seen him running, I was just like, what the hell happened?
Is it fair to wonder where the team's confidence in Shane Waldron is as a play caller? Is that a fair question?
I mean, to the outside, yeah. I know. For us, we just got to go out there and do what's called and make sure we're on the details of things. And then we could try to make some shake.
There was a 4th-and-1 play where they threw the ball to you, and just watching the play, it looked like that maybe another play was on, but the corner was kind of off the line of scrimmage, and it looked as if Caleb changed the play and then throws you the ball, but the corner came up. He kind of fooled him maybe on that particular play, and then obviously no first down. Can you walk us through that play, what happened on it?
Yeah, I had the same thing regardless. I had the little bubble. He threw it. I mean, I made him miss, but he had the back of my helmet, so I really couldn't go forward. And I thought it was going to be a flag, but they didn't call it. So I was just like, wow, this is like amazing. This is the type of game we're going to have right now.
And there was another non-call. It seemed like it got your ire up a little bit when they had – maybe they're holding you. It was a pass, I think, to Keenan Allen, perhaps, and it seemed like there was a hold. They were grabbing your jersey, and you made your appeal to the officials, and they didn't want to hear anything of that. What happened on that play?
Yeah, some of the stuff just, I guess, goes unnoticed, but I don't know. I just try to play through the whistle, and if it get called, it get called. If it don't, then oh well. But them DBs know what they be holding, so that's on their conscience.
Odyssey celebrates Halloween, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Why do I feel like it's not on their conscience? I mean, they probably feel like they got away with it. Yeah, I like that. You're a good man to expect them to. They should confess. They should just raise a hand. It was me. Hey, DJ, I'm just wondering when David asked, how do you keep it from being two losses out of a game like that? Because now you're on the road. Now you got to go to Arizona. And you know, you're not favored in a game. When you look at this team on the road, I believe the record is 3-17 under Matt Eberflus. Now, you weren't here for a year of that, and this is a completely different team since a year ago. But learning to win on the road, as you know, it takes a lot of little details that you got to follow. How do you explain the struggles on the road versus the way you play at home?
We just got to get going like we do at home, you know. I mean, our away games feel like home games. How do our fans travel, which is amazing. So we should be up and ready to go, but it feels like when we're on the road, it's like, all right, we got to get adjusted. We put our toes in the water, checking the temperature, and then we go. But instead of just diving in, we don't, and we get behind, and we got to play catch up.
For three quarters, Caleb Williams struggled. I felt like he got back home, and seemed like, whatever the case, he wasn't at his best. In the fourth quarter, you saw glimpses of the special that Ryan Pohl said you would see on occasion, and we sure did. How would you describe his day, and what was it about those maybe early quarters and early possessions that maybe was a reason why he was struggling?
I can't tell you. I mean, he was out there doing his job. Their defense was really on it in the first few quarters, and we needed to find an answer. But like I said, when we come out of halftime, I think that's when we was like, okay, we can just dive into this thing, and we just started moving the ball.
So you look at that game, and obviously you had four passes thrown to you. You had a couple of catches. You had a nice, that 27-yard catch was huge. You also ran the ball a couple of times. One time on like a little, like inside run.
Misdirection. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a nice play. That was a nice play.
Yeah. We had that in for a few weeks too. Having gotten it off the ground till yesterday, and it felt good to get it run.
Well, DJ, it felt good. It looked good. It's great, yeah. But you're not a running back. I mean, that's the thing you look at from the outside. I know it's sort of a reaction and maybe an overreaction, but I love the fact that they're using you in the running game, but I'd like to see you targeted more than four times. What about that? How does that address?
Like I said, it starts from upstairs down to the play caller, and then we all just got to be on the same page and be open fast enough to get the ball.
You know, I guess as I think about what's going on in the first quarter and why you guys are kind of struggling to score early in games, it seems pretty apparent that I think you went into the game 3-16 on third downs in the in first quarters, and you had your first third down was a 3rd-and-15, and then you were I believe there was a delay of game, so you end up in 3rd-and-20. That's not a very makeable down, and then your next one was 3rd-and-10. So I is there something going on, like when we talk about the failure to get started early, are you in two bad a down and distance on third downs? I mean, only a couple in that game, but it still is very difficult to get on the scoreboard when you're facing, when you're not doing well on first and second down.
Yeah, when you're not doing well on first and second down, the third downs is more challenging. You're either behind the sticks some or behind the sticks a lot, and that's where you want to stay out of in the league, because it's going to be hard, because teams are going to just sit at the sticks and then expect your quarterback to make a perfect throw or a perfect play.
So, DJ, you've been in the league long enough to understand the mentality of fans and media after a loss like this. You've been in Chicago long enough to know how passionate people are in watching, and their reactions may become overreactions. So I ask you this, after a loss like yesterday, that you can look at decisions made by the coaching staff, things that were done and maybe not done, from your vantage point as a leader on this team, how much confidence does this team have in its coaching staff?
We still got a lot of confidence. You know, they put in good game plans, and we just got to go out there and execute them for 60 minutes. So I know nobody's just going to come in with their head down today or this weekend. Everybody's going to be still in high hopes because we're still above 500, and we're going out there to beat the next opponent, which is the Cardinals.
I'm curious. So that they call it, DMV, the District of Columbia, Maryland, and Virginia. You obviously went to Maryland. Did you have a lot of people at the game? Did you have, I know there were a lot of Bear fans there, but I'm saying, did you have a lot of college chums that turned up for you?
No, I didn't have no college people turn up for me.
How close is that to your where you went to college?
And a couple and hours, right?
It's like it's not even that far, is it? It's a pretty close drive.
Probably like 30 to 45 minutes, depending on traffic.
Oh, wow.
What was the flight home like? Was it as quiet as some might imagine? What did you guys, is this going to be an easy loss to get past just because you're a professional and you're in the middle of a season? What's the mindset now?
The mindset on the plane was everybody was talking about it on the bus. And then when we got on the plane, I think everybody was on their iPads rewatching the game. And then that was it. But I had fell asleep as soon as we got on the plane. So I really don't know what everybody else did.
What time did you get home?
Midnight.
Wow. God bless you for getting up with us.
You know anything about the Cardinals yet early enough to look ahead and to know what to anticipate Sunday out in Arizona?
I haven't really looked at them, but I've seen how they've been playing. They've been playing hard. So just how this past defense was. They was out there flying around and playing hard. So I know that's one thing we're going to have to beat.
Do you follow or care about your fantasy football numbers? Does that impact you in any way? I'm sure that you've got friends that are playing you in fantasy football, people that are looking at it, and it's just one of those things people do during the football season.
I do not care about fantasy. The points, when people at me about them, I do not care about y'all fantasy. that has no bearing on what we're trying to do as a team or as me as a player. Like, I'm not like, oh, I'm thinking about JoJo and Cindy Lou and they points that they need to win they fantasy. I'm trying to win for the organization.
Reality is tough enough. So when does the leadership council meet this week, and how spirited will that conversation be?
Probably today and probably on Wednesday. So I'm going to have to attack those two meetings when I get in.
Hey, DJ, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you. Hope you're feeling better. Hope this doesn't impede you in any way moving forward.
Thanks, DJ.
Thank you.
Odyssey celebrates Halloween, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.